Chancellor Ling, President Nelson, fellow administrators, faculty colleagues, guests, family, friends, staff, and of course, graduates. It's a privilege to be with you and to serve in this role. Every morning as I come to work, I join a community. Actually, you might better know it as 404 Southbound. There is limited interaction, although there is the occasional exchange. Seldom verbal, and oftentimes with creative alternatives. Generally, we share the same purpose and direction. While our destination, our specific mode of conveyance, and the personal style of goal achievement may vary drastically, most often we coexist relatively well. Hopefully, each of us accomplishes our objective without extended delay, debate, or discourse. As you saw the title of this address and listened to the scriptures as they were read, my sense you had a different expectation than hearing about my commuting issues or perspective. That's fair and appropriate. Allow me a few minutes to provide a fuller explanation in the time I've been allotted. We are assembled here for a clear purpose and a desired outcome. As graduates, you have arrived at a measurable, significant achievement. For this, I congratulate you. This represents a personal sojourn, but not a solo enterprise. Family, friends, faculty, support staff, and classmates all share in this your accomplishment. I know you know this, but in case you forget to mention it later, I have it covered. Thank you to all who have supported the graduates with patience, with resources, childcare, empathy, prayers, and grace. You've done well, and all are encouraged to celebrate. I want us to look together at what community life and full living that is available to us and how we can achieve that. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, while incarcerated during World War II in Germany for his stand against the inhumane treatment of Jews, defines community as, and I quote, "not an ideal which we must realize. It is a reality created by God in Christ in which we may participate." Some of you are here today as part of a cohort or fellow students who journey together through every class as one. There are others that completed your objective one course at a time as you balance life, family, work, ministry, funding, and overall well-being. Some were able to give fully the experience, which might have even included residence life, athletics, student government, and even campus employment as a central aspect of your experience. Still others had an internship or one last class that kept you from completing your program with many of your friends who have already graduated and gone on in life. Right now, you may be listening to my words, looking around and saying, "Community? Community? Who are these people?" Whatever your experience, we are assembled here and now for this community celebration. That established, I want us to look forward and to the various social, employment, and life environments you have or will encounter shortly. Desmond Tutu, South African social activist and retired Anglican bishop, describes community in this way, and I quote, "One of the sayings in our country is Ubuntu, the essence of being human. Ubuntu speaks particularly about the fact that you can't exist as a human in isolation. It speaks about our interconnectedness. You can't be human all by yourself. And when you have this quality, you are known for your generosity. We, on the other hand, think often of ourselves far too frequently as just individuals, separated from one another, whereas you truly are connected. And what you would do affects the whole world. When you do well, it speaks out. It is for the whole of humanity." End of quote. The Old Testament lesson provides an illustration of community as the tribe of Levites, one of the 12, served in a unique relationship with the people of Israel. Without land, property, and workable assets, their role was to serve as ministers in the tabernacle, assisting in the transporting of the tabernacle and its furnishings and substituting for each family's firstborn in leading worship and the handling of the sacraments. This, within the context of being entitled by God, in view of the fact that he spared Israel's firstborn at the Passover in Egypt. Without going into further detail, which might require correction from a biblical scholar seated behind me, mutual consideration and reciprocal benefit was foundational in this example. When the post-Exodus establishment of the 12 tribes and their extended families of Israel were distributed throughout the land of Canaan, the religious rituals, traditions, and purification ideals were supported in this relationship by the tribe of Levi. Financial support came from the people's tithes and their benevolence. An early example of community and reciprocal support is provided here. Can you recall a time when you experienced the graciousness of others in this community? Perhaps you are currently in or soon moving into a reliance of others to provide for you. None of us go alone or enter into the next venture alone. Allow me to illustrate in a more timely example. Group work in academics usually challenged most of us to look at the efforts and contributions of others in an assignment as being as important as our own. Never happened in my case. I must confess too frequently, I was convinced I was the center of the task, and no one put the energy or intellect equal to mine into that assignment. While we never worked together in a group project, you remember me now, don't you? I was the person in your group. Now, that spoke more about my attitude as it did my fellow group members' aptitude. Without a clear recalibration of my optics, how could I expect to participate in any teamwork setting post this event? Certainly that tone does not properly represent community. Our New Testament lesson, the account of the early church, where all had everything in common, certainly takes community life and living to a place generally unfamiliar in our time and context. What I want you to consider is, as you go forward from this relationship and this experience, how are you different? What are your expectations as you enter the classroom, the workplace, the church, your ministry, your vocation? How has this community of learning and relationships impacted your sense of others? What do you have available to give to those in need? Those that are demanding, unattractive, appear to want for nothing, or want to have nothing to do with you or what you represent. You have received a rich gift in the Tyndale community. It was not been without your own time, your efforts, and your sacrifices. 25 years ago, my wife and I faced a difficult situation and what was at the time an overwhelming challenge. What was one of the key actions we took? I called two of my seminary professors to seek out their counsel, their prayers, and their advice. Look behind me. Who are you able to call when life, work, and career knock you around? I trust the Tyndale community has provided you with that. Now look around you at your fellow graduates. Who are you able to call when life, work, and career knock you around? That is what community life and living should offer to you and provide for you. It is not about how many likes you register on Facebook or the number of followers you have on Twitter. This is not the community I desire for you. Tyndale did not strive to be perfect for you, but to be the best community for you, each and every one of you. Just as each of you are different, so was and is your need for community. What I hope you received from your time at Tyndale is an indelible imprint of community life and living. What I want to challenge you as you go forth from Tyndale is to pay it forward. Remember, ibutu, the essence of being human. It speaks particularly about the fact that you can't exist as a human being in isolation. It speaks about your interconnectedness. You can't be fully human all by yourself. Take with you the unwavering understanding of and commitment to community life and living. The classroom, the office, the church and work and ministry place you enter is your new community. Bring the good news of what you have in Christ and permit your vocational calling to be grounded in grace, acceptance, attention to the overlooked, and care for the unseen. Allow me to leave with you now a few Barryisms. View the actions of others initially with the conviction that the intent was for good, or at least neutral, and not for harm. Back to 404 for a moment. I need to be convinced that that person did not wake up that morning and say, I'm looking for that old guy in that 1999 Solera to tick him off. That wasn't his intent. When you are up, go down. And when you are down, go up. Without imposing a hierarchical theme that I don't want to be prevalent within the context of community, the temptation when we are up, when we are encouraged, when we're excited about something, is to go to someone that we report to, we relate to, that we wish to impress. The temptation when we're down and when we're discouraged is to subject that issue to someone that is responsible to us and reliant upon listening to us while we're grumbling. Reverse it. When you're down, go up. Dig and drink deep from the community that's available to you. And when you're up, go down and spread it liberally among those that look to you for leadership and for guidance. When you follow the scriptural direction, here's the next Barryism. When you follow the scriptural directive to approach a coworker who has fallen or strayed directly, as in Matthew 18, the one-to-one, it is not Facebook post-worthy or appropriate to share, be it Twitter, electronically, or even as a prayer request. Next, what we are together is measurably better than each of us individually. Next, I am not the center of everything I do or touch. Ubuntu. And lastly, never let those things that matter most be at the mercy of things that matter least. The Apostle Paul, New Testament missionary and writer of numerous letters to the church, calls us with these words, "May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you to live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory."